We've been doing a three-part series on forgiveness. Who's been here all three? Does anyone know? Carol, Ruth, Sammy, yeah, good, Keith. So, today's the last part. Today is the last part. The power of importance of forgiveness. And in the Lord's Prayer, we pray, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Forgiveness is the cornerstone of following Jesus. So it's really important that as we go through life, we forgive like Jesus. I love this photo. It just signifies to me the love that God has for us. And look at this guy, he's grabbing him tight. That's what we need to do through our life. So just a really quick recap. So in week one, we talked about forgiving others. And we said that unforgiveness can stop us actually receiving our healing if we don't forgive. It actually says in Matthew 6:15, we need to forgive those who hurt us so we can receive our healing. How much clearer can that be? And then we spoke about the three objects. We had the poison, we had the hook, and we had the handcuffs. And this signified what you can get stuck if you don't forgive. It said unforgiveness is like having poison and you drinking it and expecting the other person to die. It's not like that. You know, you suffer as not if you don't forgive. And the handcuffs, being handcuffed to someone, if you don't forgive someone, you can remain joined to them. If you remember that, dear Ruth had the handcuffs on. I can't remember who the handcuffed to, Rachel. Nearly couldn't get them off, could we? But, yeah, yeah. But it just showed how the two, you could be tied. If Rachel had a problem with Ruth and it remained, that would be a problem. You'd say remain connected in the wrong way. Yeah, I picked this up. This is an extra one. I think it's in James. It says to listen and to be slow to speak. Slow to anger, swift to bless. And it's about not jumping into a situation when something angers you. Just take a moment. Take 5-10 seconds and think, what's coming? What's this person? Where's this person coming from? Before you get angry back and react. So, yeah. That was the first one. And then in that one, we encourage you to come forward and write on a bit of paper and snip up people's names who you had to forgive. And in the second session, which was last time, there's a two-part. And the first one was asking God for forgiveness. We need to ask him for forgiveness. Believe it or not, we're not perfect. It might be a shock to you this morning, but hopefully not. We're not perfect, so we need to ask God for forgiveness. If we don't, we become distant. We can have shame, like the person sitting there with the bottle, which is I. If you feel shame, it's shame is I am useless. And that's a thing, that's an identity that you can wear, and it's wrong. And then we have guilt there. But it says in 1 John 1, if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from wickedness. So through that, we repent, which is we turn towards God, our loving Father, and we say sorry. And then we allow the Holy Spirit to help us receive the forgiveness, which is important. And then the second part of last time, learning to forgive yourself. I've struggled with this in my lifetime. Many people have told me throughout my life that I am forgiven. It took me a while to receive it. And we talked about maybe feeling like this guy on the left who's covered in mud. He feels... Actually, that was Christine the other week. But learning to forgive yourself, you know, you can be chained up from something that maybe happened in the past that you just can't get beyond. God says you're forgiven, but can you forgive yourself? And then, actually, I've got a thank you to my friend and scholar, James J. John. He did a demonstration. And Nathan, can I borrow you for a second? So this is a beautiful, crisp, new £10 note that has a value of £10. Ooh. Anyone want it? Yeah. No, you're not having it. So that has a value of £10. Now, Nathan, if you scrabble it up, just screw it up, right, and show it again. What's the value of this now?
£10.
£10. It's still the same value. Right, now you can put it on the floor.
On the floor?
Stamp on it. Move it around a bit. Good. And your other foot. Give it back to me. What's the value of this? £10. This is how God looks at us. It doesn't matter what happens to us, what goes on, our value never changes. Thank you, Nathan.
Okay.
Yeah. Forgive yourself. God says that he actually will throw the sins of his people into the depths of the sea. So we spoke about that and how deep the sea is. And, you know, you're not going to get those sins back there long gone, as far as he's concerned. So we are forgiven. I'm forgiven. I'm healed. I'm loved. I am cleansed, I am accepted. So, okay, so the last part of the forgiveness thing is forgiving God. This is an interesting one. You say, forgiving God, why do we need to forgive God? God says, do not fear, I'm with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you and uphold you with my righteous hand. Keep that one to mind. Believe it or not, we have issues and problems in this world. Does anyone know that this morning? It's not an easy ride. It's quite a difficult ride, but God is with us. And Jesus said, I've told you this, so that you may have peace here, peace in me. Here on earth you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart because I have overcome the world. He told his disciples that they will have many trials and sorrows. And we do experience that in life. I know I'm going through a particular period where I'm quite struggling. But it's a time to draw closer to God and not away from God. So here we have some scriptures about being angry. And I wondered if you could pick a scripture that calls to you and just read it out to us.
Give your burdens to the Lord and he will take care of you. He will not permit the godly to slip and fall.
Amen. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God, through Christ, has forgiven you.
Psalm 103, verse 8. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love.
People with a hot temper do foolish things. Wiser people remain calm.
Understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. You must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. Human anger does not produce the righteousness God desires.
Stop being angry. Turn from rage in your rage. Do not lose your temper. It only leads to harm.
Yeah, thank you. I need to go back up a bit. No, I don't. That's later on. It's okay. Okay. So what life events can cause you to be angry with God? What kind of bigger things can you struggle with? Grief? Grief is a difficult one. People can be angry at God. Why have you allowed my loved one to pass away so early? God, why haven't you answered my prayer? I've got so much stress. Why should I be in this? My pain is too much. I have a broken heart. Injustice. This is an interesting one. I'm grappling with God at the moment because there's several injustices I feel that I'm experiencing in my life at the moment. My whole journey with dementia with my father is a very difficult one to experience and to see. So it's important for us to be honest with God how we're feeling. But on the other side as well, there may be something that maybe we've caused ourselves. In Proverbs 19 it says, people ruin their lives by their own foolishness, but then they're angry at the Lord. So maybe we've taken a wrong decision and done something and it's caused something. And then we're angry at God saying, why have you let me in this situation? So maybe our foolish decision has landed us in that place. How can we be angry with God? He still loves us in that place and he'll help us out. But, you know, you have to examine that sometimes. Has a bad decision that I've made led me to this place? Even though stupid stuff happens, the Lord still loves us. He came to the earth and died to save us. I was looking over the last few days at Job's story in the Bible and all he went through. And it's really an interesting story. And I encourage you, if you're going through a rough time, check out his story. He was a prosperous guy, loved by God. And Satan complained, came to God and said, he's only worshipping you because of his blessings. But then God agreed that he could go through a time of testing and everything was taken away from him. And then he went through grief, through sickness. And as he started to lose heart, God came in and started to show him that God was in control of all these things. And to cut a long story short, the suffering stopped. And God healed and restored him in the end. And actually his life was much better at the end than it was at the start. And that's an encouragement if you're in a rough place at the moment. In Psalm 142, verse 1 and 2, it says, I cried out loudly to God. Loudly I plead for God with mercy. I spill out all my complaints before him and spell out my troubles in detail. It's important to tell God in detail what we're struggling with. He already knows. There's nothing going to be a surprise to him. But we can talk to him and we can just spend time pouring out our hearts to him. He wants to know that. Yeah, the Lord is close to all those hearts that are crushed by pain. And he is always ready to restore the repentant one. Even when bad things happen to the good and the godly ones, the Lord will save them and not let them be defeated by what they face. So, what to do when you're angry with God?
You should ask him for help and not be angry with him.
Yes, very good. Thank you, Duncan.
Like when I became a Christian again, and even before I was a Christian.
Yes. Yes.
And I have problems. I've always asked God to help me.
Yeah.
And I believe I've got out of every situation.
That's good, Duncan. What a testimony is that? That's really good, Duncan. Yeah, amen. So actually, I've got a little picture here to remind me. There's another prop I need to get. Now, I do have to give a disclaimer. There may be a very loud noise coming up. So anyone with a faint of heart, be warned. So, no idea what that was. This balloon is you. Things can come and enter us. And if someone comes and gives you some grief or offends you, it can enter you. And it gets blown up. And then maybe over time we release it. But what happens if a certain situation comes and it's still there and it's not dealt with, and then that same thing happens again That same person comes and offends you. It gets bigger. And it gets bigger. Until one day, I can't take anymore and I explode. Or you could have a situation where you just can't. This person comes in and gives you grief or causes trouble. And then it carries on. And then it gets bigger. And then it gets bigger. And then you say, right, okay, I've got all this. I'm just going to hold on to this. And I'm just going to live life walking around with my anger and my bitterness. And you can gather many balloons. This may be from one relationship, but you just carry it around with you until one day you can't take any more. And it's popped. Or maybe as Christians we're told we need to forgive quickly. So something affects you quite bad and you take it and then you think, okay, I'll forgive, it's gone. And then again, something happens again. And then you say, I'll forgive, it's gone. But maybe there's something a bit more than that. Maybe we should learn to live above offence. So when something's come, we learn to deal with it more, and then we don't take it on. I can't blow this in. That problem, that bitterness, anger, is not entering me, because we live above offence, which means we just don't let that enter in. So that's that demonstration. What to do when you're angry with God? Tell him how you feel, not just to others. Now, here's a good testimony, a fresh testimony. So I was walking in Cornwall recently for my 3 or 4 days, and I always think it's a time where God speaks to me. I love walking. I have my music blaring in my ears. I have the beautiful scenery that God's created, and I just love it. I had 3 different accommodations that I stayed in during that trip. And I met 3 different house owners. And on the second one that I met, I had quite a chat to this elderly lady. And whatever's in you will come out. Now, at the moment, I'm struggling with a lot of things and grappling with a lot of things with God. And so over breakfast, I found myself sharing about my dad, sharing about my work, sharing about things, and I just poured out my frustration, and just saying stuff like this. And then, anyway, I went on my walk, and then God spoke to me, and he said, I've given you these opportunities here, and you've taken it by just saying your struggles to these people. And he doesn't do it out of condemnation. It was a gentle thing. It was like, and it was a real awareness that, why am I going on about my issues when I could have been sharing? And maybe I need to look at these issues differently and say, yeah, we have struggles and challenges, but our God is faithful and he's with me through it. And God was saying, I need to like just steer you like a boat, slightly different to handle these situations differently. And, you know, and the other testimony out of that is that we need to be ready for conversations. People will come and talk to you out of the blue, and maybe some subject will come up. The first lady I met said she was struggling with cancer for 9 years, and you know, I didn't feel ready to say, you know, I'm a man of faith. You know, I went away and said, yeah, I'll pray for you secretly, but in my interaction I want to be able to say, I'm a man of faith, I'll pray for you, we believe in the God who heals. You need to be ready for these interactions. So be expectant that when you meet people through your daily walk, you'd be ready to share something. And I think through that, it will encourage us to be more confident in our faith. And, you know, pray to God. Give me the opportunities to speak to people. and he will. That's, sorry, I'm just going a bit off tangent there, but that's important. But, so, I mean, for me and that lady, Nathan, could you come up, please? Could you blow that one up? It reminded me like this. I was sitting there and I was telling him my complaints and woes. And everything that was inside me was coming out as a grumble and a moan. Yeah. Go on, Nathan. Yes, you have a go. So, thank you. So where am I going with that? It's we need to get into a place of not being complainers, and that's a hard place because at the moment in work, not that outright, I'm quite an angry man, and I'm being honest with you this morning because this is real life, and I like to say it is how it is. And actually, my name Frank means honest, so it's important to take our issues with God and our struggles with Him, but not just take it and complain. Stephen and I were talking, and there's like this complaining game, isn't it, where you say, "Oh, how awful my situation
is." Called "Ain't It Awful."
Ain't it awful? Where we just go in this cycle of, "Oh yeah, but mine's like this, and isn't it awful?" And then Stephen, we need to rise above that. Tell him how you feel, not just to others. It is good to talk to others, but don't just sit in that pit of, "Ain't it awful?" Lay your heart open before God. Lay your heart open before God. Acknowledge that even though you don't understand what's going on in this situation, you trust he can make everything right. Because he can. He's with you in the situation. May not be the result you want, but to be honest, he knows better. Reject feelings of self-pity and self-entitlement. Self-pity, "Oh, I'm struggling in this situation, poor me." And the self-entitlement is, you feel entitled that it should be a different way. So, you know, you're just struggling with that. Recognize and focus on the blessings in your life. This is the one that God's speaking to me recently. It's like, okay, so he'll say to me, "Okay, so you've got these three big issues in your life. What about all these other blessings I've given you?" You know, and like Barry was saying this morning, the beauty in the world that we've got to see in the creation. And I have a home, I have a beautiful wife, I have a lovely family. I have, you know, but yet these three challenges I'm facing. God says you will have challenges. But it's navigating through that, but having the right perspective through it. Be patient and wait. Something might not happen straight away, so we need to be patient and wait for God to move. Take a lesson from Habakkuk. Anyone know Habakkuk or heard of Habakkuk before? Habakkuk says, this is from the Amplified Bible, "Though the fig tree does not blossom, and there's no fruit on the vines, though the yield of the olive fails, and the fields produce no food, though the flock is cut off from the fold, and there's no cattle in the stalls, yet I will choose to rejoice in the Lord. I will choose to shout in exultation in the victorious God of my salvation." Do you know, you could write this in your own story. And maybe you should do that. Maybe I'll encourage you to do that this week. If you're in a big challenge or you've got multiple challenges, write it down like this. Keep the last bit the same. "Yet I will choose to rejoice in the Lord. Though the project deadlines are ridiculous at work, and I see my dad suffering with a disease, blah, blah, blah. Even though, yet I will choose to rejoice in the Lord." And it's been focusing on him. I'm going to have a go at that this week. So, yeah. Actually, just before we go on to that, Howard, could we share that song? So there's a song we just want to play. So it's just during this time. Focus on the words and let the Lord speak to you. Even if you don't. Yeah, so good. my clicker stopped. Oh, my clicker stopped.
So, Howard, you put focus back on
the importance of thankfulness. Psalm 9, verse 1. I will give thanks and praise the Lord with all my heart. I will tell of your wondrous deeds. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Yeah. Here you go. Joyce Meyer. I may not be where I want to be, but thank God I'm not where I used to be. Amen. And this one, I love this. I got hold of this from good old Blessed Bill, a hero of the faith of mine. And he says, thankfulness in a time of conflict takes the weapon away from the enemy's hand and puts it into God's hand, where he works for his glory for our good. Look at that. That's just so good. I mean, Bill comes with some real nuggets. That's thankfulness in a time of conflict takes the weapon away from the enemy's hand, puts it in God's hand, where he works it out for good. There is a greater plan through all the things. In Isaiah 55, it says, my thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord, and my ways are far beyond anything you can imagine. Just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than yours, and my thoughts are higher than yours. God's purpose is far greater than our problem and your pain. God has a plan. Okay, so as a summing up the whole series, living a life of forgiveness summary, we're called to live a pure life. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. We need to choose to live above offence, to practice to not jump when people you may feel like you're being attacked verbally or by an attitude. Be aware of the Holy Spirit promptings about forgiveness. As he prompted me when I was walking, I said sorry to him about the way that I focused on my issues rather than my solution, which is my God. Forgive others that have hurt you. Ask for forgiveness when you sin. When past guilt and shame surfaces, remind yourself what God has said in his word and that it's buried in the bottom of the sea. Ignore the lies of the enemy who wants to keep you in that bad place. Remind yourself God has a bigger plan and he is in control. And live a life of thankfulness. We spoke about thankfulness earlier in the testimonies, and it's so good when you come to deliver a talk and that subject already comes up. So it's thank you, Lord. Live a life of thankfulness. Love God with all your heart, mind and spirit. One thing of the thankfulness is you could have a gratitude jar. I'm sure we spoke about this before. You could have a jar at home where you put in each day something that you're grateful for. Write it on a card or a bit of paper. Put it in the jar and see that jar fill up. And when you're struggling for something, take a few out and read them. So, this morning, God invites you to a closer walk. Walk out of church today a little bit lighter and live a life of forgiveness central to your walk with Jesus. Be open to receive more of the Father's God's blessing on this journey through life. Yeah. Let's just pray. Yeah. Thank you, Father God, for this subject of forgiveness, Lord, and it's so big on your heart. And Jesus, as you were on that cross, you said, forgive them for they know not what they're doing. Forgiveness is the central thing to you. So, Lord, help us to forgive others today, this week. Help us to forgive ourselves Help us to say sorry when we've done things wrong. And Lord, those big issues that we may be grappling with, help us to draw close to you, sit with you, and let you just give us a different perspective. And may we not lose sight of all the things that we need to be thankful for you. Amen. If anyone needs prayer this morning after the service, come and grab Rachel or I or Susan and Keith, and then we'll pray with you. But apart from that, Susan, could you closing song? I think there's two songs if you want.
Just do one.
Yeah, sure.
Been reminding us of God's faithfulness and his forgiveness. He's always faithful, and as we respond to him, it's all for his glory. So we're going to sing the next song. Thank you, Howard, to God be the glory. Generations forever and ever. Amen.
Amen. Amen.